You ready, rock and roll? Okay. It is June 20th. Welcome, everyone. I apologize for the scheduling inconvenience. My subcommittee that was scheduled to start at 3 has just started. So let's move into a public hearing and work session on House Bill 3539. Mr. Hamilton, why don't you come on forward? How are you?
Good, thank you.
Thanks.
Madam Chair and distinguished committee members, I'm very grateful that you've taken the time in your very, very busy schedule toward the end of the session to hear this particular bill. The Northwest Religious Liberty Association, which I head up, represents the constitutional and workplace discrimination concerns of the Seventh-day Adventist Church and all people of faith in the states of Alaska, Idaho, Montana, Oregon, and Washington. We are pleased that House Majority Leader Dave Hunt and Representative Roblin have sponsored Oregon House Bill 3539 and that it passed the House by a significant majority. This was a tremendous moment for our organization. And for all people of faith, particularly religious minorities in the state of Oregon. But of course, you know, this is not enough for this bill to become law. House Bill 3539, the way it has currently been amended and redrafted, narrowly and carefully bolsters the requirements of employers to accommodate the scheduling of leave time for the observation of religious holy days or for the wearing of religious apparel in the workplace. More specifically, it restores the federal Title VII legal standard involving religious discrimination, which obligated employers originally to demonstrate that they did everything possible to accommodate the sincerely held religious beliefs and practices of their employees before they could cry undue hardship or, in the original case, significant difficulty and expense.
Mr. Hamilton,
yes.
I know I don't know if you actually live in Ridgefield, but we've got your written testimony. Could you please summarize it for us? That would be really helpful.
Sure. Essentially, this bill is not an affirmative action bill for religious minorities, even though it benefits mostly religious minorities. It benefits all people of faith, and it does it in a way that is fair to both employers and employees. It often involves not just, I guess the best way to look at this is we shouldn't look at religious minorities as merely Seventh-day Adventists, Jews, Sikhs, Hindus, Muslims. It actually, according to the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life and a recent survey by Baylor University, it involves all faith groups who take their faith seriously, okay, which includes Sabbath-keeping Sunday keepers, okay, Christians. And but they represent, again, a small percentage of all people who actually believe. And so many times, as a result, the people who are often singled out in a workplace and don't have the need for keeping their Sabbath are religious minorities. And I think it's an unwitting thing. I don't think corporations purposely go out to discriminate against employees. That's not what we're saying here. We're just saying that the original standard needs to be applied or reapplied. And it's been lost since a case called TWA versus Hardison in 1977. We had a case at our office involving Horizon Airlines, and it's a good airline. I fly it all the time. But we had a baggage handler call our office, and he had a situation involved where for 2 years he had his shift swapped out with several different employees, and then a new supervisor came on, and it becomes somewhat of a machismo thing to say, hey, you know, I want you to work on such and such a day. And he says, listen, I'm willing to work any day you want me to, but I've got a problem here. Okay? And he basically, in time, was dismissed. But in the interim, in trying to mediate his case, an attorney from Seattle said, according to TWA versus Hardison, we don't have to accommodate anybody. and we will not accommodate anybody for religious holy days. Well, his case went all the way up the chain through Boley and then EEOC, and he won his case. The point is that most of the time, in these types of cases, or I shouldn't say most of the time, some of the time, there's a policy-based corporate discrimination that's applied, and that cannot be allowed to stand. It's problematic. And cases have jumped up dramatically in the last several years. For example, from 2005 to 2007, our organization has mediated 131 workplace situations in the state of Oregon alone, and a total of 362 in the states of Alaska, Idaho, Montana, Oregon, and Washington combined. While our mediation efforts are largely on behalf of the Seventh-day Adventist clients, Oregon's Bureau of Labor and Industries, BOLI, has received and processed 133 claims since 2002. And according to the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, the EEOC, between 1993 and 2003, a 10-year period, religious discrimination claims rose a staggering 82% nationally. Just in Oregon alone, with BOLI, and we just got these statistics yesterday, during that same time period, the number of cases jumped significantly. From 14 in 1993 to 42 in 1994. In fact, the years 1985 and 1988 only had one case for each year. Okay, so, it's been staying steady at a high rate since then. And, the typical types of cases include, a Seventh-day Adventist who refuses to make an adjustment to a shift, or an employer who refuses to make an adjustment to a shift schedule that would allow a Seventh-day Adventist to avoid working on a Sabbath. An employer refuses to allow a Muslim woman to wear the modest garb required by her faith simply because this is not the standard uniform worn by employees, or refuses to allow an observant Jewish man to wear his yarmulke for the same reason, or an employer refuses to allow a devout Catholic woman Christmas Day off even though one of her employees is willing to substitute for her on that day. There's many more things I could add here. It's in the testimony. I'll leave it at that. There's sham claims are usually resisted by attorneys trying to mediate such cases. So in terms of concern about increase in litigation on corporations, that's proven to be just the opposite, that fewer claims are actually filed as a result of this law, especially in New York State, which just passed a Workplace Religious Freedom Act.
Plus, we have a provision addressing frivolous claims, so I
think yes.
We're safe. So thank you.
Yeah.
We really appreciate you bringing this. This is a really important issue, and we really appreciate you bringing it. Do you actually live in Ridgefield? Washington?
I do.
Okay.
I preside over a five-state region with our government relations organization.
Okay, great. So. Thank you. Questions? Sarah Monis Anderson.
Well, I addressed this with you. We have an employer who works at the front desk, and he or she wears a T-shirt that says, "Repent, Jesus is coming." It's, you know, I have great respect for the religious garb that you mentioned, as well as sets. Having Saturday off for certain religions or even Sunday. And so that could actually detract from business.
That's already protected both in state and federal law and under free speech, and especially religious free speech when it comes to religious messages in the workplace. Now, when it comes to public schools, that's different. You're dealing with children and people who are more impressionable when dealing with adults in the workplace. That has been regularly upheld through the years by the U.S. Supreme Court to be allowed. So this bill is not addressing that specifically. This bill is narrowly tailored to address Sabbath or religious holy days in the workplace, accommodation that is, and to restore the original provision of Title VII, which is basically to try to rebalance the situation so that the employer is not just blanketly applying a corporate-based discrimination-type policy. It's not addressing the question you have, which would need to be addressed in a separate bill entirely. So that is the only way I could really legitimately answer your question.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate you joining us, and we'll be working on that Columbia River crossing so that you can get down here and back easily. Ms. Meyer, any comments you wish to make? Okay. I didn't think you had any comments.
Chair Brown, members of the committee, Andrea Meyer, Legislative Director for the ACLU of Oregon, here today in support of House Bill 3539. As you may or may not know, actually, we are representing Seventh-day Adventist students who are attempting to participate in the OSAA basketball tournament for many years and have failed to be provided even a basic reasonable accommodation. So we continue to be quite interested in making sure that there are reasonable accommodations made to folks. And in this case, this bill is narrowly and carefully crafted. We worked with Representative Hunt. This is an area that we think is clearly in need of protection. It's one of the most litigated areas where we're talking about scheduling religious holidays and wearing religious clothing, and the only thing we would have added but were fine in this case not would be beards or hairstyles, another area that comes up when people are facing inability to have reasonable accommodation made for religious beards and hairstyles. So we think it's an important tool, and we urge your passage. And I'd be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate you joining us this afternoon. Any questions? Comment for the record, Senator Vakian?
I think it's a terrific bill. I'm very supportive of it. It does have the interesting section 4 at the end, and I'll certainly support the bill with section 4. But I'd want the legislature to, I guess, keep tabs, or for those of you that will be implementing it, to keep tabs on this Section 4. And the reason is that absent a law like this, it's always the First Amendment to the Constitution that guarantees religious expression and that prevents the government from discriminating in some way religiously. And Section 4 is the only section that allows an entity to in some way discriminate, and it just happens to be the government, which to me, at least in some theory, runs crosswise with the First Amendment. Now, I think Section 4 is legally sufficient, so I don't think that's a problem. It just is a different kind of theme for the government to take with respect to religious freedoms. So I would hope as the law is implemented in the future, somebody comes back and tells us how it's going.
Thank you so much. I appreciate all of you joining us. And appreciate your comments, Senator Vakian. Close the public hearing, open a work session. Chair would move the bill to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Senator Farioli, any comments?
No.
Okay. All right. Krista, would you call the roll, please?
Senator Farioli?
No.
Senator Cruz?
The temporary aye.
Temporary. Hopefully for the next 30 seconds.
Okay.
Senator Monson?
Aye.
Senator Vakian?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries.
Senator Vakian, since this is up your...
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
Okay, that'd be great. All right. Thank you very much. Very interesting. All right. I'm going to head off to subcommittee, and we're going to... Senator Farioli is going to take over, and we're going to hear HDR 25, and if you like, pass it, and if you don't...
I'm guessing we'll...
You can tell Representative Jensen you didn't like it. Right. Thank you.
Open a work session on HJR 25, and we'll stand at ease till the... Well, actually, we have Representative Jensen coming. Donna Dish, you're here. Would you like to come up and begin as invited testimony at our work session?
Okay. Donna Dish. For the record, with the Office of State Fire Marshal. So just a clarification, I'm invited testimony?
You are now, ma'am.
Okay.
Representative Jensen. And Representative Jensen, please come forward for HJR 25. Actually, I think you're just here to answer any technical questions we might have.
Yes, that is actually correct, although I could do either way. But I really think that it would be more appropriate for this gentleman to testify.
How about we just vote on the bill?
Okay, hearing no testimony.
can we do a gut and stuff on this one, Bob?
We are in work session on the bill.
I would hope not, Senator. And for the record, State Representative Bob Jensen from Pendleton. HDR 25 comes to you from... the Hermiston Fire District, one of the members of the board of the Hermiston Fire District. It's at his request that I submitted the bill
I would have been delighted had I had the time to come over to the Senate and get signatures on the Senate side on the bill, but I think if you would note every House member has signed on to the bill. And I think only your chair, maybe, and one other person from the Senate have signed on to the bill. It's a very simple idea. We have a number of issues, you know, like this, where we recognize one day a year for a group or do something exemplary for us in society and that we rely on very heavily as a society. And I certainly think that firefighters are one of those groups that we owe a lot to. As far as public safety is concerned, they're in a position and often are asked to put their lives on the line in some very difficult situations, and they're always there to serve us. And so, as a consequence, I just ask for your support on the bill, and I won't spend a lot of time with it because I think you all are probably as much in agreement with the ideas as I would be.
Questions for the panel? Senator Avakian.
Thank you. For the Fire Marshal's Office, actually, I found the amendment interesting, changing the term from firefighter to fire service member. I assume that's just to include personnel that don't actually fight the fires, but I'm not sure.
Well, there's quite a tandem relationship between the firefighters themselves and the public education, public information, and fire prevention people who all feel like they contribute to save lives and property. Not only is fighting fire important, preventing fire is also very important, and that's where that change came from.
Good. Senator?
Yeah, just a curiosity, Representative Jensen, is there a significance to January 27th?
No. Excuse me, too long serving with you. Senator Cruz, the original date that we submitted was 9/11 because of other issues.
There were fires that
somewhere along the line in the process, the House, I think, committee amended the bill. I would still prefer to go back to the other date, but it's a little late in the session to be fighting a fight over that. And
okay. Well, Mr. Chair, if I could, according to the SMS that staff just handed me, January 27th is the date when the fire service was first established in the United States in Boston in 1676. So I guess that is also an appropriate date.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say, too, if I may.
Senator Avakian is recognized.
I am. I'm very glad that it was changed to the 27th, only because, I mean, certainly heroic things happened on September 11th, but it looks like the intent of this bill is to honor all firefighters, whether or not they were involved in the tragedies of that day. Good and point. So I'm very glad to see that the date is the 27th.
Further questions or comments? Representative Jensen, henceforth, the 27th will be an important day in Oregon. And one question, Representative. Would you, as the chief sponsor, have any objection to every member of the Senate adding their names as sponsors to this important resolution?
Thank you very much for that, Senator Farrelly, Mr. Chair. I not only would not object to it, I would be flattered and honored to have every member of the Senate, every colleague I have in the building here, that is eligible to sign on to it. It would be very, very flattering to me.
When we take action on this bill, as the chairman has suggested that we do, we'll pass it along to the Senate Secretary with the notation that members have been invited by the chief sponsor to add their names if they so desire. And I believe she has a mechanism for allowing that to happen when this bill comes to the House or from the House to the Senate. So let us do that. We are in work session, so the chair will accept a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move H.J.R. 25A be adopted and sent to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Questions on the motion? Objections to the motion? Hearing and seeing none? So ordered.
Carried.
We will. Do Thank we you. Have a member of the Senate who is a That's firefighter?
That's what I was trying to think.
Can we bring Randy Leonard back? Or
no. No. let us let the carrier of the bill to be designated by the chair with the recommendation that we try to find a member with a connection to a firefighter. Firefighting.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Yeah.
And that closes the work session on House Joint Resolution 25, and I believe that concludes our business.
Thank you.
We are in adjournment.